Welcome to the Buddha Sasana Podcast. This talk was given by Bhikkhu Chintita in Austin, Texas.
In the last weeks, we've looked at how samadhi is represented in the early Buddhist texts. We find that it arises quite naturally in a variety of wholesome practice contexts other than sitting on the cushion. This must apply at least to the first jhana, by the way, but not necessarily to higher jhanas, since samadhi is undifferentiated in these descriptions. We've seen that the sequence, delight gives rise to tranquility, tranquility gives rise to samadhi, exposes us to supramundane pleasure, making us less willing to invest in more worldly forms of pleasure. Today, I want to look at the role of samadhi in developing higher wisdom. This does have to do with sitting on the cushion. Samadhi, or concentration, is the immediate cause of knowledge and vision, which lead to liberation or awakening. For instance, the Buddha tells us, bhikkhus develop samadhi. A bhikkhu who has samadhi understands things as they really are. And what does he understand as it really is? He understands as it really is, this is suffering. He understands as it really is, this is the origin of suffering. He understands as it really is, this is the cessation of suffering. He understands as it really is, this is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Bhikkhus develop samadhi. A bhikkhu who has samadhi understands things as they really are. The attainment of wisdom attributed to samadhi is generally called knowledge and vision, jnana-dasana, or knowing and seeing, or simply insight. Right view is the first step on the Noble Eightfold Path, and samadhi is the last step. Right view tells us, for instance, about the Four Noble Truths mentioned in the passage I just cited as a kind of conceptual description of things as they are. Knowledge and vision, in contrast, is most generally understood as a thorough internalization of right view through direct experience and contemplation. Those phenomena which were previously only heard by me, I now dwell having experienced them with my own body, having penetrated them by wisdom. I see them. Knowledge and vision are often found together in the phrase knowledge and vision of things as they are, yata bhuta jnana dasana, insight that is one step away from liberation. When right samadhi does not exist for one failing right samadhi, the proximate cause is destroyed for knowledge and vision of things as they really are. Again, the knowledges are for one with samadhi, not for one without samadhi. Surprisingly, there's some controversy in the Theravada tradition about the role of samadhi in attaining knowledge and vision of things as they are. This has to do with the problem of cognitive effort. Understanding something as complex as the Four Noble Truths, or almost any other aspect of right view, it would seem, takes a lot of cognitive effort. However, samadhi is a profound stilling of the mind, often assumed to reach into deep states of absorption. In such stilling, it is argued, could not possibly carry the cognitive effort of right view. Our cognitive faculties are simply not there in full force to handle this load. It seems the contemplation of right view must overwhelm our samadhi. So, where does knowledge and vision of things as they are come from? Buddhist scholar Avatar Schulman has surveyed the scholarly literature and finds it tends towards two camps. He notes that Wynn and Bronckhorst, for instance, seem to view knowledge and vision as some presumably mystical form of experience of jhana itself, having little or nothing to do with right view, but rather possessing unknown conceptual content. He notes that Gombrich, Concy, Rahula, Collins, and Hamilton, on the other hand, seem to downgrade the role of samadhi and to attribute liberating knowledge to a primarily intellectual effort. I'll argue that both of these positions are mistaken. Modern vipassana, based on the seminal 5th century Visuddhimagga, is an ambiguous case. It seems to belong to the intellectual effort camp, since it marginalizes samadhi and is based on right view, but also promotes meditation techniques applied by real practitioners to develop special mental states. We'll come back to vipassana. That we nonetheless somehow do carry the complexity of right view into the stillness of samadhi or jhana, in spite of the controversy, is clearly evident in the early Buddhist texts. We can see in many early sources not so much how this is achieved, but that it is achieved step by step. The Satipatthana, Foundations of Mindfulness, texts describe part of this process of internalizing right view. It introduces four practices of mindful investigation, the fourth of which, observation of phenomena, Dhammanupassana, is divided into contemplation of specific doctrinal teachings. In the Pali version, the following are listed: the five hindrances, the five aggregates, the sixfold sphere, the seven factors of awakening, and the four noble truths. Observation of phenomena means that we bear these teachings in mind and discover them in our own experience in an intensely dedicated way. The main Satipatthana text does not mention samadhi or jhana, but many related texts do. Here's a passage that makes this clear.
Unification of mind is samadhi. The four foundations of mindfulness are its themes. The four right efforts are its requisites. And any cultivation, development, and pursuit of these qualities are its development.
This says that we pursue the practices of Satipatthana as the themes of samadhi. The aggregates, the Four Noble Truths, and so on are the subject matter of samadhi. How can this be? This is underscored in the seven factors of awakening, a causal series of factors that line up one by one in our meditation practice in order to produce knowledge and vision leading to awakening. The factors of awakening in order are mindfulness, examination of phenomena, energy, delight, tranquility, samadhi, and equanimity. The first three of the seven factors of awakening, mindfulness, investigation of phenomena, and energy, seem to correspond to Satipatthana practice, in particular to the fourth foundation, observation of phenomena. The next three factors, delight, tranquility, and samadhi, will be familiar to those who have listened to my previous talks on samadhi. They arise in any context of wholesome, ardent, undistracted Buddhist practice of any kind, ethical, ritual, intellectual. Here they arise in the context of mindful investigation of phenomena. Another teaching called the Stages of Liberation tracks the internalization of Dharma all the way from the practice of listening, remembering, and reciting the Dharma, which is how it was done at the time of the Buddha, through pondering and finally to making topics of contemplation into objects of samadhi. I cited the Stages of Liberation in one of my previous samadhi talks. Finally, there are texts that drill down into the practice of samadhi itself and describe the processing of topics of right view happening there. For instance, here we find contemplation of the five aggregates in each of the four jhanas. A monk in each jhana regards whatever phenomena connected with form, feelings, perceptions, formations, and consciousness as inconstant, stressful, a disease, a cancer, an arrow, painful, an affliction, alien, a disintegration, a void, non-self. Or consider this passage. When his mind is thus connected in samadhi, is purified, bright, rid of blemishes, free from taints, soft, workable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, he bends and inclines his mind toward knowledge and vision. He understands, this my body is material, made of four elements. Just as if a man with good sight were to examine a beryl gem in his hand, saying, this beryl gem is beautiful, well-made, clear, and transparent, and through it is strung a blue, yellow, red, white, or brown string. In just the same way, he inclines his mind to knowledge and vision, to potency, understands the Four Noble Truths. Putting aside the issue of cognitive effort, there is little doubt that samadhi plays a critical role in the process of internalizing right view, that through samadhi, knowledge and vision is achieved, and that the content of knowledge and vision is right view, or is an internalized understanding of right view. This means that the two scholarly camps described at the beginning of this talk must both be wrong. Knowledge and vision are not a product of purely intellectual effort, nor are they purely a product of samadhi with no relation to right view. Rather, right samadhi perfects right view through the immediacy and clarity it provides. It is beyond right view, beyond the intellectual sphere, beyond thinking about Dharma, to perception in terms of Dharma, to seeing through the eyes of the Buddha. This leaves us with the question we started out with: how can this liberating knowledge, dependent on right view, arise in the still space of samadhi? Clearly it must, according to the early Buddhist texts. But why doesn't the cognitive effort required for understanding Dharma overwhelm the tranquility of samadhi? It would seem that there can only be one or both of two answers. One, samadhi is more cognitively accommodating than we think. Two, the cognitive effort required for complex Dharma teachings is much less than we think. I will argue that both of these are true, but next week, for our time here is quickly running out. Deeper samadhi challenges cognitive effort, and deeper cognitive effort challenges samadhi. But balance is possible in support of direct, clear, and tranquil experience. Just as if there were a pool of water in a mountain glen, clear, limpid, and unsullied, where a man with good eyesight standing on the bank could see shells, gravel, and pebbles, and also shoals of fish swimming about and resting. In the same way, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, the monk directs and inclines it to the knowledge of the ending of the mental fermentations. Incidentally, the two factors that we must bring into balance here, the cognitive effort required by right view and the stillness of samadhi, have good names in Pali. Cognitive effort is vipassana, and stillness is samatha.